Hey everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode 96. 96 wow. Weeks of it's an energetic show.
Amazing.
96 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsoft is pinging about. And last week I wasn't here.
Where were you?
I was ill. I was a little under the weather.
You and feeling so better?
I do.
Right on.
I feel
right
good.
On, right
but while I was gone, Paul had Clint on, and they talked about how they liked it so much better without me.
So I fired
them.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Then what the hell did you bring me on
and replace him with Charles Torrey.
Crazy.
Who you guys obviously know from Channel 9. I mean, you're the original 9 guy.
One of them, yeah.
One of them. You know, you've been doing Channel 9 for how long now?
7 years.
And this is your first appearance on Ping.
I know. I mean, what can I say?
You've been warding us off like the plague.
Not at all. No. I don't ward you guys off.
All right, well, good.
I usually focus more on technical things, the engineering side of things. Or the news and how people actually are using our stuff.
That's how we keep Channel 9 sort of well-rounded.
Absolutely.
So we've got a bunch of different people with a bunch of different sort of specialties.
Absolutely.
And today's going to be the most well-rounded episode of Ping. But before we get to the show, which we have very special guest, one of your friends and a big, huge celebrity of sorts on Channel 9, Mark Rusinovich will be here today, joining us to talk about his new book. So we're really looking forward to that. But before we get to that, I wanted to comment, Mir, last week in the message boards, Clint had made a comment saying that coding is fun. Like, not only coding for fun, his website, but coding is just fun all the time. Okay. And so Mir made fun of him and said,
what did he say?
He said, I could hardly think of anything more enjoyable than coding. No, really. If I had all the time in the world, I would surely be coding all day long. Maybe with small breaks for some other fun stuff, such as taking out the trash, going to the dentist, hanging out with my mother-in-law, and filling out tax statements.
Harsh. Mir is not a developer.
I love him.
Right on,
do you really think coding is fun?
For people who do it professionally, absolutely. Right? It's the same thing as, like, writing. Do you think Mark had fun writing the words in this book? I'm sure he did.
I do.
I'm sure he got frustrated. I'm sure he did. Threw down the typewriter. But when you're writing code, if it's not fun at some point, whether you're designing your algorithms or implementing them, then you shouldn't be a developer.
So do you write code?
I used to write code. I've written code as a developer.
Do you do it for fun?
These days, I actually will occasionally write a little block of code for fun just to test something out. So if I read something that's interesting, I'll just write some code to see if it works. Or something new is added to, say, you know, like Visual C++, for example, I'll just throw something together.
I drink alcohol for fun, Charles.
I do that as well. I do that as well.
All right, let's get the show. Mark Rusinovich is waiting.
Okay.
All right, everybody, as we tease you a little bit, we have a very special guest in studio today. Mark Rusinovich, you guys either know him as a beloved Channel 9 personality. In fact, Mark has one of, if not the most watched videos on Channel 9.
Yeah, I've had a lot of clicks on it, so.
We can talk about that. You may have actually wrote a program to spoof IP per request, but you didn't.
Oh, could you do that for this episode of Ping?
I didn't.
Yeah.
This would be great. Anyway, he's here to talk about something completely unrelated to those things. Mark's written a novel called Zero Day, and Mark, is sort of a sci-fi novel, right? So give me a background on it.
It's a cyber thriller, so it's grounded in security research that as it exists today. So I try to be true to the science of malware and cybersecurity, and it shows like a scenario that I think is real possibility.
Yeah. Now, if someone not as sort of technically deep as Charles or yourself were reading this, maybe some of the viewers of Ping, would they understand it, or do you really have to be a programmer or a coder to get it?
No, you don't need to. In fact, I was really surprised because some of the early reviews, it turns out that lots of women like to read books, and they're the ones that are doing all the pre-reviews.
Uh-huh.
And so they started reviewing it, and they were like, "Oh, I love this book," that wasn't my target demographic, and so I got lucky that they like it too. But it means that the technical stuff's accessible to.
Charles, you had a chance to read the book, right?
Well, I read some of it. I'm not going to pretend like I read the whole thing, but what struck me right off the bat, knowing you and interviewing you and communicating with you about technical things over the years, is that you have quite a skill for writing fiction. So nice work. I mean, it really reads nicely. You express things that aren't. It doesn't sound like you're reading a technical article on TechNet. Your technical stuff is right on, though. It's correct, and that's the cool thing because I mean, there are times you'll read science fiction books where they kind of stretch the science a little bit. The physics or the math or whatever.
And immediately,
not in this case.
You're out of it. You're like, there goes my suspension of disbelief.
Totally.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The way that I look at what I've read so far of this and understand is that I don't really look at this as fiction as much as the characters are fiction and the stories are fiction. But the fact of the matter is, this stuff is already happening.
Yeah.
So if you look at the Iranian nuclear plant...
Well, actually, you talk about me not stretching. I thought I did stretch a little when I wrote it, because I have the malware that they write, infect nuclear power plants and airplanes, and I'm like, that's a little bit of a stretch. I don't think they would go to that trouble. Mm-hmm. They don't need to, but, you know, it makes for a good story.
Yeah.
But it turned... The Stuxnet thing showed that, hey, it's not too far off, and actually, there was just... 34 SCADA vulnerabilities in SCADA software that was posted to the web a few days ago, which the SCADA systems are the ones that run those types of computers.
Crazy.
Is this something, how long have you been working on this?
I started that in 2005. Okay. So the idea actually came a little bit before that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took me about a year and a half to write. And then I finished in mid-2006. Mm-hmm. And then it's taken this long to find an agent, to find a publisher, and then to get it published. It's pretty painful process.
I bet. Now let me ask a quick question now. Are you the main character? Are you?
A little bit. There's a little bit. Yeah. Okay. There's some of me in there.
So did you hear that, ladies? He is the main character.
Well, tell us about the main character.
His name is
He's
Jeff.
He's very tall.
Yeah. He used to be at the CIA. He it turns out that he was part of uncovering the 9/11 plot, but nobody listened to him, and so he got burned by that pretty badly. And he left the government and he became a private security consultant. So he goes in and cleans up people's security messes, you know, does forensic analysis and malware removal. And and so that's his entry into the book is actually being called into on one of those cases when a law firm gets infected with malware.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And this goes down quite a number of rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Now, one question I would ask you is, for the airline case, like I'm on the British Air flight, right,
yeah.
or whatever. I mean, clearly they're computer-driven and they communicate over the internet. They communicate over radio to whatever.
Yeah.
The software that's used has to be extraordinarily locked down. It's not a general-purpose system.
It is, but actually there was malware that got into a Spanair airplane last year. And you know the 787 that went down, it's a 777, I think, that went down in the... Atlantic. It was an Air France flight.
That was Airbus.
Airbus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that they don't know what happened to that one.
They don't.
And they think it might have been computer system related.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
So does that mean potentially you have another novel in you?
I'm working on a sequel actually with
you
the
are?
Same. Yeah, the same. There's two main characters, Jeff and Daryl.
Okay.
And the sequel, actually, I want to make it based on real things that are going on in the world of cybersecurity.
Perhaps a character named Laura.
Maybe.
There you go.
Excellent. Comes into the sequel.
She could be the hacker codenamed Thug.
There you go.
That's our nickname.
That's good. We'll brainstorm. Yeah. We'll chat.
All right.
Nice.
All right, well, tell people where they can go to get it.
Anywhere, actually.
Anywhere, bookstores.
Bookstores.
Amazon,
unless they've run out. I mean, the thing is with the first-time novel, you don't get a lot of airplay. So,
sure. Mm-hmm.
So they stock a few, and then they run out, and then they'll go, okay, we need to order some more. So the local bookstore might be out, but it's definitely all the online
What about
retailers.
Like on the Kindle or an e-reader?
Yeah, it's on the Kindle. It's available for Kindle.
Great.
So the one last question I would ask is because, I mean, it's scary. So it's thriller, but if everybody uses the internet, no matter what we do, we're connected to people. We're running software all the time. I mean, what should we do? Should we just unplug our computers from the network? And I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, not fly?
Don't do that at all.
Talk to
us. Don't do that.
What is your message for like what you're really trying to get people to understand?
Yeah. Well, so the message to consumers is just to be diligent about all the things that, you know, are kind of obvious now about what you should keep up to date with your antivirus up and your patching and don't go cruising weird places and run with limited user account and all that, you know, do those kinds of things. But it's really a bigger message to government. Mm-hmm. And the government needs to take this more seriously. There's a lot of people actually in the ex-intelligence community and the intelligence community that have been driving this agenda for a long time. Mm-hmm. A guy named Richard Clark, who's been a cybersecurity and national security advisor to presidents from Reagan on upward, wrote a book last summer, published a book last summer called Cyber Warfare that attacks the same issue, saying this is a real problem. He's looking at it more from state-sponsored cyber
warfare.
Absolutely.
But this definitely fits into that same kind of category.
Mm-hmm.
And his message is we're not taking it seriously enough. And so there seems to be some traction with the Obama administration. You know, part of it is that to really get our infrastructure secure, you can't just say to the infrastructure private sector, go make it secure,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
because they'll just, it's cost them money. And
sure.
it's kind of an insurance thing. If they aren't incented to buy the insurance and they think the risk is small from their perspective, they're just not going to do it. Or if they think everybody else is not doing their part, mm-hmm.
right.
why should I do mine? So I think it's a place where regulation needs to
but
to
how
come
can,
in.
How can, so just, I mean, it's software,
yeah.
right? And it's connected to the sea of sharks. So
yeah.
how can you make it more secure?
Well, so part of it is this critical infrastructure system, separating it from the internet, putting
okay.
them on there. And a lot of these are,
yeah.
but the controls on how they get connected, and there are some connections, what data goes back and forth through those connections, and what people can do. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, like the power outage in the Northeast, that 7 years ago or whatever.
That's right.
That was the prevailing theory is that was triggered by malware as well. So obviously things aren't the way they should be at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just know what we should do, but there's no concerted effort to
Well,
to
I
do
vote
right
for
thing.
Mark to go work for the yeah. U.S. government and yeah. help protect us, man. But right. stay at Microsoft.
But stay at Microsoft. Yeah.
Right.
Don't leave us.
Be a consultant.
All right.
Come on.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks
All right.
for coming
Thanks
down.
Thanks for having
Pick
me on.
It up. It's called Zero Day. All right, Charles, so I don't know if you know that I recently did a bunch of videos about TechFest here at Microsoft.
Yes, awesome
and,
stuff.
Yeah, really fun stuff. TechFest
yeah.
for me gets like more and more artistic and creative
yep.
each year. And this year there's a lot of stuff about photography. And one of the devices or programs, I guess it would be called, is a thing that you put on your phone that actually allows you to create 3D images.
Nice.
Now, did you see this?
I did.
And what are your thoughts on this?
Well, in some sense, it's just sort of taking the photosynth concept
yeah,
of technology
very similar.
And bringing it down
but
to the phone.
But really simplifying it.
Yes.
I mean, I did it, you can watch the video, I'll link to it. In literally 15 seconds,
yeah.
I walked around as a little stuffed animal, I snapped a bunch of pictures,
yep.
boom, sent it to the thing, 3D model right there.
Awesome.
Awesome, and you think about like the real world for just us consumers,
yeah.
capabilities of this. Like, I want to sell, say, my boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of, like, just putting a singular picture,
yeah.
I can now walk around my boat and give post it to Craigslist or whatever and give, like, a full-on tour of what it is. You know what I mean? This is awesome.
It is. It's a very good use of technology. It's a great Windows Phone app.
It is. And now you said that the creator, Eric...
Well,
Stolnitz?
Eric Stolnitz, yeah, the guy who yeah, definitely, the researcher.
Yeah, the researcher.
Works for Fuse Labs.
Okay.
He's going to be at MIX.
Great!
And he's going to give a talk.
What's he talking about?
And you can
about?
Learn about this. They're going to talk about, I guess you could say, sort of rich, interactive user experience or kind of rich, interactive narratives.
Okay.
Basically, they've done a lot of work around interacting with computers in different ways. So imagine being able to deep zoom into a video.
I love it.
For example.
I love it.
No one's done that yet. These guys
yeah.
have. So I would recommend checking that out and ask Eric about this app as well. He's going to be at MIX.
And will that session, do we post those sessions online?
Yeah, they actually haven't been posted yet online.
But because MIX hasn't happened yet.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean, actually, we haven't even posted that we're doing this session online.
Oh,
so you're learning
you just,
it first.
Did
here
you just
on
open
Ping.
Your mouth and
it's all right. It's been
okay.
approved.
You need to stand on your mark.
Sorry. It's all right. It's been approved.
Okay, it's been approved. So we're breaking news here.
Breaking news.
Nancy Grace. Breaking news.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, so awesome. So then, you know, check out the video we did from TechFest and then check back for our sessions for Mixer. You can hear directly from the man himself, Eric Stolnitz.
Absolutely. Very cool work.
Nice.
Great cloud story as well, right? Because you're sending
yeah.
those pictures to the cloud. The cloud computer's doing all the computation for
right.
you.
All the stuff that happens on the back end that you don't even need to worry about.
Nope. Just take pictures and send them up.
Unless you want to.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man.
All right. All right, Charles.
Yes.
So some people might say that there, people who don't know, that there was maybe bad blood or, you know, maybe like a rivalry between IE9 and mm-hmm. Firefox, right? Like
okay.
the browser war.
Yes.
But apparently there's some love and some good sense of humored people out there
mm-hmm.
because every year that Firefox
releases
something,
yeah, yeah.
the IE9 team sends them a cake.
Absolutely.
And says, hey, congrats.
Yep.
And they've done this, I think, at least 2 years, maybe more.
Uh-huh.
Now, what would you
Since
say?
Since Firefox 2.
Do you think they're taunting them? Do you think it's sort of a backhanded congratulations? What do you think the motivation is there?
Well, I think, you know, in some sense, there's probably a little bit of history there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely not, I think that Mozilla and Microsoft may not be the best friends in the world.
Uh-huh.
We're certainly not enemies. We have a lot of mutual respect for each other.
You've got to.
And we're both trying to push our browsers into the future.
Yeah.
And so they released Firefox 4, which is doing really, really well in terms of downloads, by the way.
Yeah.
Probably all because we gave them a cake.
That's right.
But IE9 is cranking as well. So
yeah.
It's good to have competition. And Mozilla says that every time they get a cake, like, competition is good.
And the Mozilla
Thanks
people
the cake.
Posted it.
Absolutely.
Like, they think it's great, which I think is awesome. Like, a friendly competition is absolutely wonderful. And I would imagine that a lot of these people have either worked together, you know, all doing the same sort of respective jobs on the same career path. You've met each other at conferences.
Yes.
You've done seminars. They're all probably, you know, having beers at some point together.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which is great, and I think it just shows, you know, that developers and engineers have a personality.
You better believe
it. And a sense of humor, and that we can keep these things light spirit, even though it is serious business.
Hey, absolutely, I agree. I mean, I think it's great. I wish they'd send us a cake. I mean,
yeah, I want a cake.
Hardware accelerated HTML5.
Yeah.
I mean, that's general purpose programming for a GPU that you can do in markup and CSS. Now, we deserve some love for that. I want a cake. We need a cake.
I would even settle for a cupcake.
Yeah, send us a cupcake, man.
Cookie?
Right on. But that's a great story.
All right. All right, everybody, that's it. That's it for the show. I want a big thanks to our friend Mark Rusinovich for taking time out of his very busy day and coming down and talking to us. Interesting. Interesting guy.
Really interesting.
I mean,
and it's
talk
a great
about
book.
You want to get inside someone's head. This
oh,
guy
man.
Does it all. He's creative. He's technical. Tall.
Yep. And he has a lot of female followers. I mean,
he's good looking.
He's a Superman of Microsoft.
He really
Fair
is.
Enough.
Awesome.
All
so
right.
I'm very excited we got to have him on the show. Before we go, I wanted to shout out this new website that I found.
Yeah.
Sort of expresses my personality a little bit.
Yeah.
It's called whosthecutest.com.
Wow. Excellent.
And then when you click on it, fun things happen. So you'll have to go and check that out. Just be surprised. Just mm-hmm. be surprised. And then I know you wanted to talk about a website that you found. So
well,
this expresses
one,
your personality.
This one, it does in some sense. It's a little bit different, but it's kind of along the
just
lines.
Getting to know each other.
Yeah. It's the programming motherfucker.com.
Yeah.
And it's the motherfucking manifesto for programming motherfuckers. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's awesome. Now, is this
it's
something
funny.
That you need to check daily, or
no,
is it
no,
one-off?
No. It's a manifesto. You read
All
it
right.
once, you move on.
So go to that site to learn a little bit more, Charles, and go to whosthecutest.com to learn a little bit more about me. And with that, Charles, we'll go. Thanks.
Later.
See you next week.